Hey, how about it, race fans? It's Richard Allen of InsideDirtRacing.com and InsideCircleTrack.com coming at you with another edition of Rich's Ramblings. I wouldn't really call these things a podcast. I just call them a little recording, but these recordings of my perhaps meaningless thoughts, I will hope to be putting out on at least a semi-regular basis throughout the season. So I appreciate you taking the time to give it a listen, and I would certainly appreciate your feedback. If you want to contact me on Twitter or the website InsideDirtRacing.com has a Facebook page, so if you want to get on there and give us some feedback, we'd certainly appreciate that. We certainly appreciate the numbers of you who are clicking on our website and reading our articles. Our traffic numbers certainly indicate that quite a few of you are doing that, and we're appreciative that you are. So today, the topic I wanted to talk about is something that seems to get a lot of people fired up, and I've never really quite understood why. It's something that doesn't bother me at all, but it apparently does bother quite a few people, and that is the use of provisionals to fill in the starting lineup whenever a big race is about to happen. Since the two national tours, the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series and the World of Outlaws Morton Building Late Model Series are about to resume after they took a little bit of a hiatus after the Florida Speed Weeks, I thought this would be a good time to talk about it, because it seems like these are the races that the most people complain about whenever they see provisionals being used. I understand where when people say, well, you did poorly in qualifying, or you did badly in heat races or a B main, so thus you don't deserve to go back and work on your car and make it faster for the next time. I understand people saying that. But the idea that just because you were not particularly good in the preliminary part of the night, you don't earn a position in the field, I don't agree with that. If a guy has agreed to run, especially a national tour, but I would even extend this argument to the regional tours too, if a guy has agreed to run a tour and a team goes out and spends, however many hours on the road and however much money it takes to get there, to prepare a car and to get there, I think they're deserving of an assurance that they will be in the starting lineup. And if you go to let's just say a typical Lucas Oil race, and there's 3,000-4,000 people in the grandstands. Out of those 3,000-4,000 people, I'm gonna wager that there's gonna be at least 100 or 150 people wearing a Jimmy Owens t-shirt or a Jimmy Owens hat or a Jonathan Davenport t-shirt. I mean, pick whichever driver you want to, and those drivers are going to be well represented in souvenir sales and all this with a lot of fans there. Let's say Jimmy Owens. He goes out and maybe has a flat tire when he's out qualifying. So it's a bad qualifying run. He's now buried at the back of a heat race. As we have seen many times, it's difficult to pass. I mean, think about it. Everybody's driving the same car. There's about three or so major chassis builders, and there's three or four major engine builders. So when you mix and match those up, everybody's driving the same car. And a lot of tracks, especially early in the night, not real conducive to passing. So let's say you start a heat race in 10th and the top four transfer, and maybe you pick off two or three and you finish 7th because you had a bad qualifying run. Now you're starting a last chance race or a B main. You're starting back in like the third or fourth row and maybe only like the top three transfer. And again, everybody's driving the same car, and everybody's on a track that's not necessarily set up for a lot of passing. So let's say if the top three transfer, maybe Jimmy Owens or Jonathan Davenport or Brandon Shepherd or whoever that popular driver might be who just happened to have some bad luck in qualifying, they finish 4th in the B main. So all those people who came in who spent maybe as much as $40 to sit in the grandstand, who are wearing that Jimmy Owens shirt or that Brandon Shepherd shirt or that Jonathan Davenport shirt, they came, maybe some of them came 3-4 hours to watch their favorite driver, and now he's not going to run in the feature because he didn't he didn't get his way in through the preliminary stuff. And with that said, you know, if a guy like one of those guys who travels, you know, everywhere the Lucas Oil Series goes or everywhere the World of Outlaws go, there's eventually going to come a point where they're going to say, I'm not going to follow this tour. I'm not going to drive 8, 10, 12 hours to get from, you know, the Carolinas to Wisconsin or somewhere like that to run a feature race when I don't even know for sure I'm going to be in the field. The same folks who complain about people getting in by way of provisional would also be the same folks who under those circumstances would be complaining because the car counts are so low. You know, I'm not trying to point anybody out or pick on anybody or anything like that, but I mean, the same people complain no matter what the circumstance. We know that. We live in a world where everybody wants to cancel something all the time and everybody wants to complain about something all the time and start another hashtag. And that would be the same circumstance right there. Somebody shows up, pays $40 for a grandstand seat, and then looks out and says, well, there's only 15 late models that came to run this 10,000 to win race. Well, the reason why only a few of them came is because they were afraid to haul halfway across the country and not even know that they were going to be in the race. So, you know, how many sponsors are going to want to sponsor a car not knowing whether or not that car is actually going to be in the feature? So the whole idea of you didn't earn your way in, to me, is a weak argument. You earn your way in by agreeing to follow the tour. Now, I understand if the same people are getting a provisional every night, you know, that starts to run its course. And I know that a lot of the series, whether they be regional or national series, do start putting limits after a while on the use of the provisionals. And I understand that, but the occasional use of a provisional does not bother me otherwise. But really the bottom line is what it gets down to is a provisional is just a way of taking care of somebody who's been loyal to you. You know, we all, I think, appreciate loyalty. We've got that friend or family member who's always there for us whenever we need them. Well, a lot of these drivers are always there for the tour whenever they're needed. So, you know, the provisional is a way of rewarding that loyalty on occasion whenever they might be having a bad go of it. So I don't really have a problem with it. And for some reason, a lot of people do. But anyway, those are my thoughts. That's my 2 cents, and it's probably not even worth 2 cents. But I appreciate you taking the time to listen. Like I said before, I appreciate those of you who go on InsideDirtRacing.com and InsideCircleTrack.com on a regular basis. That is greatly appreciated for you doing that. And the follows on Twitter or the likes of the Facebook page or any of that are also very much appreciated. So thank you for taking the time. And this is Richard Allen of Inside Dirt Racing and InsideCircleTrack.com saying we'll see you at the racetrack.